We did a series in Mexico called People Just Like Us. And this is one of the sermons that we did in People Just Like Us. And I was praying as I prepared to share with you today. And I really wanted to share this message with you, because as we look at the life of Barnabas, God has some really important lessons for us about grace that overflows into the lives of others. So we're going to read together Acts 4, 32 to 37. And you guys have been sitting for a little while, so I'm going to ask you to get on your feet, to stand up, and let's read together the Word of God. Acts 4, 32 to 37 says, "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold the field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet." Would you pray with me? Lord, as we come and open your word, we deeply desire to see you glorified, but we also long to hear you speak. Lord, as we have our Bibles open, Lord, we want to ask that your Holy Spirit would reveal your truth to us as we look into your word and we are changed by your Spirit. Father, please speak to us this morning and guide us into your truth. Move us to be obedient to your word and see that your grace, as you fill us, overflows into the lives of others for kingdom impact that makes disciples of all nations. Lord, we long for that, and we ask that you would just work through my mouth, that I would speak only your word and that your church could hear you speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your seats. Many years ago, when I still lived in Melbourne, I was involved in an event called the Winter Classic. This Winter Classic was at Mount Hotham, a pretty cold place. It was actually in winter, and it's like an endurance event. We did it with school. And I was actually going to the event as support crew. But at that time, I was doing a lot of athletics and sports, and someone got injured, and they needed someone to run. I was like, I'll run. Yeah, why not? 10 kilometers in the snow. How hard can that be? But I was a little surprised to see that it was a lot harder to run 10 kilometers in the snow than 10 kilometers around the park. So up on Mount Hotham, I started to run. I was really gung-ho, and we did it in pairs. Hades was the guy there who was with me. And so we started to run. First 5 kilometers were amazing. You know, running through the snow was really picturesque. Kind of get out to the middle of nowhere. But then after that, I just hit a barrier. I hadn't trained for the event. I wasn't prepared for the event. And so I said, "Hey, I'm out." And he said, "No, keep going." So he, who was a really good runner, he was really fit, he'd prepared for the event, slowed down to my pace, came alongside me, encouraged me. He said, "Phil, we can do this." We kept on running. I was getting near to the end, but I was just completely out of it. Once we got near to the end, the support crew came along and they started running beside us. They brought me a cup of tea. Now, I'm a coffee guy. I had really never drunk tea before that. I didn't even like tea. But they gave me a cup of tea. And that was the best tea I have ever tasted to the day. And they encouraged me as I looked towards that line. And as I was stumbling and wanting to fail, they were beside me and spurring me on. Have you ever had a moment like that, where someone's help was a gift of grace to your life? Where someone's encouragement helped you to keep on going when you just had nothing left? Today we're going to look at Barnabas, a guy that was marked by grace and encouragement, whom God used to model his grace in action for us. Are you ready? We're going to walk through this passage in 3 clear points. A disciple who makes disciples, a disciple who sees God's work in people, and then a disciple bringing the grace of Jesus to people who need grace. So let's start off with a disciple who makes disciples. I'm just getting a call here. I think it's from Barnabas himself. Ah, yes. He just wants to say hi. Hi, I'm Joseph, but everyone calls me Barnabas. My name describes what Christ has done in me. I was born in Cyprus, but as I grew up, I kept studying, and being from the tribe of Levi, I became a Levite. I relocated to Jerusalem to be near the temple. I was in Jerusalem when everything happened with Jesus. It was madness. That madness changed my life. My cousin John Mark hung around with Peter. Yeah, the Apostle Peter. I heard about the way, and suddenly all the pieces fell into place. I understood and believed Jesus is the Messiah. It filled me with so much joy, and upon believing, I received the Holy Spirit and began to transform me. Every day is new as I walk with Jesus. I connected with the community in Jerusalem, and even though the Jews ended up persecuting us, there's nothing like the community of Christ. We share everything. We talk about Jesus. We eat together. We worship together. We support one another. This is real life. And what's impacted me most about following Jesus is the grace that he extends to me. And it's because of that grace that I am who I am today. And now I want everyone to be able to experience that grace. Ah, thanks, Barnabas. Great to hear from you. It's amazing to see that when we start to interact with the Word of God, we see that there are real people who are just like us. People that have been impacted by the grace of the gospel. Now, that little monologue about Barnabas might describe a guy who lived a couple of thousand years ago. But that could be anyone who maybe is in our community and is impacted by the grace of Jesus and then starts to impact others. That might be your story. But can you imagine being a part of that community, that first initial church in Jerusalem? It was a community like no other. And it's Jesus' model for community. They were a community that was united, that was sharing, that was focused on Jesus, the Word of God, the testimony of Jesus, prayer. A community that was full of grace, that were helping one another and living in fellowship. That's what we see here in those words from Acts 4 that we read together. And Joseph, well, Barnabas, was part of that community. And as we heard from Barney himself, he was a Levite from Cyprus. He was converted in Jerusalem and part of that new community. And he was so well known by the apostles that they'd even given him a nickname. We give people nicknames all the time, right? Might be Runner, Skinny, Bluey, Joey. But often people give you a nickname based on something that you've done or something funny that they see in you. I won't go into that. But they gave him a nickname, Barnabas. The apostle called him Barnabas. In Australia, we'd call him Barney because we'd shorten everything. But Joseph's nickname, Barnabas, means son of encouragement. What an interesting nickname to get. Now, encouragement, this word in Greek is paraklesis, which is formed from two Greek words, para, which is beside or alongside, or next to, and kaleo, which is to call. So it's basically one who is called alongside others to help. That's pretty special, right? One who is called alongside others to help. To stand next to someone as a help, support, encouragement, to spur on, to defend, to correct, or motivate them to do what is right. In essence, it gives the idea of someone who encourages people to keep going or to do the right thing. And Barnabas was that guy. He was son of encouragement. He was a guy who would get alongside you and encourage you in the way of the Lord. Because when you've received grace, that grace starts to transform you. That grace and that comfort, that encouragement were what really stood out in the life of Barnabas. And as he lived in this true community, he was also recognized for being generous in that new community. He saw needs, there was trust, and he was moved to participate. So what does the word say? Verse 36, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, sold the field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. The grace of God moved Barnabas into generosity for the good of others. He had received grace, and he was giving grace. And this is in pretty stark contrast to what you might see afterwards in chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira saying, oh, we're going to be generous, but we're going to do it deceitfully. We see Barnabas put his faith into action. So it's not just a nice idea about following Jesus. God has transformed all levels of the life of Barnabas. And Barnabas becomes a disciple who makes disciples. Not just a generous encourager, but a real disciple of Jesus. He invests in the expansion of the kingdom of God. The most important thing now for Barnabas is not being the best religious guy, it's helping others to experience the grace of Jesus. And he does it in some really practical ways. Later we'll see his heart and action in giving his life for service for the gospel, but here we see it in a really practical way, giving generously. How hard it is for you and me to get rid of the idea about what's mine is mine. We tend to say, oh, this is my income. This is my home. This is my things. But as we see how the gospel transforms, we are called to realize that all we have is by grace from God. And we open our hands and say, God, let me be a channel of your grace. And when God has your wallet, it's a grace piece of evidence that he has your heart too. Because what we do with our economic funds has a lot to do with what God's doing in our heart. And God's been transforming me and challenging me in that. And I want to encourage you to be challenged by that today. What is your financial priority? We see Barnabas saying, hey, I want to invest in God's kingdom. I want to help the poor and needy. I want to make sure that this goal of those who are in our community aren't passing through need. And then as we go in the book of Acts, and I've been journeying recently in the book of Acts in my time with God, we see Barnabas in chapter 11 described in this way. It says, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. This is a really great description of a disciple of Jesus who's been transformed by his Spirit. He was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and we see how a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Because as we follow Jesus, Jesus transforms everything. Everything in our lives, our character, our priorities, and we get a new identity in Christ that changes everything we do now, how we act, how we respond. It's not just about going to church, about reading the Bible sometimes. Following Jesus is a radical life change. To the degree that people around you give you nicknames for what they see in you. Maybe before, Barnabas was known as the studious one or the religious guy as a Levite, but now he is the son of encouragement, the supporter, the helper, the one who spurs others on. Because when Jesus comes into your life, his grace transforms everything. I want to ask you this morning, have you experienced that change and transformation through Jesus? And what nickname would others give you because of what they see in your life? Would you be a son of encouragement? Would you be the guy just loves on people? Would you be the helper, the servant, the humble one? What nickname would your friends give you as they see the fruit of Jesus in your life? But Barnabas wasn't just a recipient of grace, so a disciple who sees God's work in people. Because in the community of Christ, it's all too easy to judge a book by its cover, to judge by appearances. Do you remember a guy called Saul who who got converted in Paul? Anyone? Yeah. One of the guys that God used to write, inspired by the Holy Spirit, a lot of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul. But his story didn't start like that. Paul was persecuting and chaining up followers of Jesus. He was number one enemy of the disciples. And then Jesus appears to him on the road and he is completely changed. Paul went from enemy to apostle. But who's going to believe that? That's kind of like saying the most notorious Melbourne gang boss became a Christian and he's coming into Grace West today. Can someone open the door for him? And you go, no, but that guy killed people. Yeah, he tortured people. Yeah, he's coming. You're like, I think I might be going now. And that was the sentiment when Paul was converted and he came to Jerusalem. Because after Paul was converted, he went to Jerusalem, which is where the apostles were, where the headquarters of the new church of Jesus was growing, and the apostles were terrified. Check out what it says in Acts 9:26. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. And then it says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So when Paul came to the disciples and they're all scared, Barnabas said, hey guys, wait, I've seen what God has done in Paul's life. You can trust in God's work in Paul. Accept him. Accept him as you have accepted me. And he put himself alongside Paul and said, hey, he's one of us because Jesus has transformed his life. Barnabas was instrumental in Paul's acceptance by the apostles and the work of God as the kingdom was expanding. He saw and believed in the work of God in people, especially the hardest ones to accept. There's a guy in our church back in Mexico called Héctor San Agustín. What a name. Héctor San Agustín. He obviously had Catholic parents because of how they put his name. He's actually in this photo on this side. This is Héctor. And he lives in a local community around our church. We met Héctor as we went door-to-door sharing the gospel. And we invited him along to church. And he came along to church and he started to hear the gospel. One of the other guys that I invest in just started really just encouraging him. He was a bit of a Barnabas in his life. But he was pretty far from God when he arrived. And he chatted to me about how he'd done some really bad things. He said, I used to go to church, but I went far away and I did some really bad things. I hurt some people really bad. And he said, I don't want to fail God. I want to do things right now. And we had a really deep conversation about grace because he was saying, what can I do to make things right with God? What can I bring, I must do for God to accept me? And then as we went to the Word and talked about grace, we saw how amazing Jesus is. Jesus is the one who did everything right, who gave his life for us so that we can be in a right relationship with God. And I said, Héctor, Jesus has paid the price. You can come freely to God. And he's been understanding grace ever since. And he's been growing, being discipled, and now he's walked through our disciple-making route in the Word with us. And he's now serving God in our welcome team, participating in God's community. Because he needed someone who believes in Jesus enough to believe in the change that Jesus can make. Do you believe in the radical change that Jesus can make in people's lives? Or do you believe that Jesus can only transform people who are more or less okay to be his followers? God doesn't say to us, fix up your life, then come back. Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. And he reaches into our despair, our brokenness, our sin. And he says, hey, I've paid the price. I love you. There's nothing more to pay. That's grace. That's the grace that loves us, transforms us, and washes us, inviting us into a new life. Actually, the Word talks about that, saying, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. God does a complete transformation, and not just an extreme makeover, but he makes us new. He makes us new. That's the kind of transformation that Jesus makes in our lives. So as we go on in Acts, we see that God continues to work by his grace in and through a guy called Barnabas. Because when the gospel reached a place called Antioch, the people of that region started believing in Jesus. There was actually some crazy guys who actually started talking to the Gentiles, those who weren't Jews, about Jesus, and then a whole bunch of people started believing in Christ. So, the Jerusalem church said, hey, we need to make sure everything's okay there in Antioch. So they were thinking about sending a messenger. They were going, who would we send? I think they were praying and looking around the room. Someone who knows the word and the gospel really well. Someone who's had a really great story of transformation. Someone who can encourage and guide the new believers. Hey, we've got a guy. Barnabas, you're up. And he became a missionary, a sent one from the church in Jerusalem to the church in Antioch. So as we see this great transformation in Antioch, the church in Jerusalem sent Barnabas to Antioch. Because missionaries are sent disciples. Check that. Just for one moment. Missionaries are sent disciples. So, God calls those who are following Jesus in their local context and says, hey, we want to see you do the same thing in another place. Missionaries aren't super Christians. Missionaries aren't some rare breed. Missionaries are sent disciples, sent out for a work that God has prepared. And then what happens next? Verse 23 of chapter 11. When he arrived and saw that what? Grace of God. Can you repeat that with me? He saw the grace of God had done. He was glad. And what did he do? Encouraged. Encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. So what did Barnabas see? God's grace. What did he do? He encouraged. He came and he saw the grace of God. And then we saw that he was glad. He was happy to see that others had come to know the grace of the Lord just as he had known it. He encouraged them all. He didn't go to put the brakes on or to hinder the gospel movement, but to encourage it. He instructed the brothers, helping them to remain true to the faith. And more people, verse 24, came to know Christ. Why did this happen when Barnabas went to Antioch? The first thing, he had a testimony of transformation. We saw before that he was a good man. Secondly, he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was guided by and overflowing with the fruit of the Spirit, and he was full of faith because he believes in Jesus and his word, and it really shows in his life. He saw and believed in God's work in people. And Barnabas became a source of joy and encouragement for those who were experiencing transformation by the grace of God. And he looked for every possible way to add to it. I would ask you today, how are you adding to the work of the grace of God? Are you of those who are saying, oh, it's just those youth today? They're always looking at their phones. I think there's some young people actually on their phones right now. It wasn't like that in my day. Or, those people who go and share with those minority groups. They must be wrong. You just can't get close to those people. Or are you saying, wow, God is doing something new in reaching out to others, and we're seeing his grace in the lives of others as the gospel is preached. And Barnabas's key calling in Antioch was to encourage and build up the believers. And he didn't just do it by himself. He called in his good friend Saul, or Paul. So he went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, it says, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And then the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So he made a mission team to invest, encourage, and build up this new church plant. And others in the community looked around and went, wow, there's something real going on there. To such a grade that the community said, what do we call these guys? They're not Jews. Well, they kind of are. They're not Gentiles. They're not Romans. We need a name for these guys. And they've just gone, huh. They look like this guy that we heard about, Christ, I think was his name. We're going to call them Christians. We're going to call them Christians. It was actually the community around, the society around, that called Christians, Christians first. That wasn't just a name we put on ourselves. That was a fruit of God's Spirit working and transforming his grace in our lives that changes, and people go, wow, these guys are different. They're just like that Christ guy. Wouldn't that be an amazing testimony for us as we walk in our lives, for others to walk around and go, yeah, you must be a Christian because you look like that Jesus guy. I think that's one of the best compliments that someone could pay to us, even if they're trying to tear us down. And then God sent out from this church in Antioch, Paul and Barnabas for a new work. So in Acts 13, from 1 to 3, you can see how the church was fasting and praying, the leadership team, and the Holy Spirit said, hey, Paul and Barnabas, send them out to the work that I've prepared for them. So they're sent from Antioch for the need in their home region, and for the second time, Barnabas is sent as a missionary. Because when you're full of God's grace, God uses you to multiply or bring his grace to others. I'm going to finish with this. A disciple bringing the grace of Jesus to people in need of grace. So, where have we gone? Barnabas, from being a Levite to being a follower of Christ, a disciple of Jesus who makes disciples. And then a disciple who shares and sees God's work in others. And now a disciple who's bringing the grace of Jesus to people in need of grace. I realized that the map that I had, because I just kind of go between languages, was in Spanish. This one's in English, so I'm pretty pleased about that. This is just a little sketch of this first missionary journey that Paul and Barnabas, they went to Cyprus, Pamphylia, Pisidia, to the Jews and to the Gentiles, who are people in need of grace. Because there's an urgent need to see the gospel expand to more places and more people. Because God's grace is not just for me. It's not just like, my precious. Once you've got it, it changes your life. But one of the great things about grace is there's enough for everybody. It's not just for me. It's not just for me to hold close and say, oh, 1, 2, 3 for me. It's something that God calls us to multiply. And when you've experienced grace, you can be a channel of grace. And what's the message of grace that they preached? The message of the gospel. It comes there a bit further on in Acts 13, saying, "But the one whom God raised from the dead, Jesus, did not see decay." And he says, "Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you." That is a grace-filled message. The forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And it says, "Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses." And there you go. Barnabas had found this out. From being a Levite and knowing the law of God, he realized that this justification was not able to be obtained under the law of Moses. But the whole law is looking forward to Jesus and saying, "Here he is." And that's for you and I this morning. Everyone who believes is set free from every sin. That's the gospel. And that's the invitation for you today, to place your whole faith in Jesus Christ and receive this message of salvation. To be set free, forgiven, washed clean, no more to pay through Jesus. Because God's grace saves us and sustains us. And maybe this afternoon you're going, "Wow, this guy talks a lot about grace. I'm going to talk a lot about grace." Because God's grace saves us and sustains us. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is our story, family. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. When I talked to Hector about this, he was like, "Really? Yeah, not by works. It's by faith. When you deposit your faith in Jesus, he saves you and transforms you and sustains you." The Beacon Bible Dictionary says this: "Grace is the spontaneous, though undeserved, love of God for sinful man, revealed supremely in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ." Is that not what we celebrated in communion? Is that not the crux of the gospel? Is that not what you and I say, "This is my faith, that Jesus lived, died, and was resurrected for my sin to bring me into a right relationship with God?" Grace. And when God has shown you his grace and love just like that in Jesus Christ, it is inconsistent for us to withhold it from others. Because grace flows from the source in Christ and it overflows into the lives of others. And that became very real in Barnabas's life with his cousin and teammate, John Mark. John Mark went with Paul and Barnabas on their mission, Acts 13:5. He was with them as their helper. But after a short time, he returned to Jerusalem. It was actually in that map. It says, he came back. And then, we don't know why or what happened, but Paul wasn't really pleased about the fact that John Mark went back to Jerusalem. So Paul and Barnabas continued with their mission. And as they finished preaching and seeing many come to faith, they returned to Antioch and they reported everything that had happened. They rejoiced together with the church, and then they were sent again to Jerusalem. And after settling matters then, they returned to Antioch and were planning the next step. Then we get up to Acts 15, and then it says, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company, and Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. Barnabas had such a strong conviction to see the work of God's grace in John Mark that he was willing to lose a ministry alliance with Paul for a season in order to defend and show grace to John Mark. That's pretty special, because most of the time I'd go, "I'm with Paul. John Mark, yeah, you really didn't make the grade." But he was willing to say, "Hey, this guy has potential. God's going to work in him. And he was able to see what God was already doing now in John Mark. What are you willing to sacrifice to show grace to others? And the grace of God triumphed. Because John Mark was granted a second season, a new opportunity. And as he worked and walked with Barnabas, this son of encouragement, we see that God worked in John Mark. And then later on in the Bible, in 2 Timothy, Paul writes, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is what? Helpful to me in my ministry." That's right after this episode. God's grace continues to work even in those who have failed. Are there people in your life who have failed you, who have hurt you, or even sinned against you, and God is telling you it's time to restore the relationship? It's time to give another opportunity in grace? Who's God calling you to give an open door for a second season in your life, or maybe in ministry? Because God used Barnabas extending the grace of Christ to John Mark to allow him to have a second season in the service of the Lord with Paul. Who do you need to extend grace to today? But my friends, you cannot give what you do not have. Because what Barnabas points us to is not Barnabas. Barnabas points us to a better Barnabas, Jesus Christ. What we celebrate in the life of Barnabas had a source, a reason for being. It was because Christ lived in him. Even Barnabas was constantly in need of the grace of Jesus Christ. He was human and fallible. In Galatians, we see how he joined into Peter's hypocrisy out of fear of the Jews. So Barnabas wasn't perfect. This isn't a sermon that is designed to exalt Barnabas, but Christ. Because Christ is perfect. He is the true source of grace. He is our God of comfort, the one who defends you and fights for you, and he extends his grace to you this afternoon. He's the one who finishes the work that he has started in you by grace, through faith. And John, in John 1, says of Christ, "Out of all his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Jesus is the true source of grace and truth. And we are in need of that grace. And if you have never experienced the grace of Christ, he is opening that invitation to you this morning. The grace that saves and the grace that transforms, even when we have failed. In these verses, we are released from the heavy burden of the law that teaches us that we have failed, that we cannot do it alone, but guided to the grace and truth that is in Jesus Christ, a true forgiveness that washes our way our sin and gives us the grace for every day. Do you need God's grace today? And I want to remind you that Jesus says to you today, "I have paid the price. I do not reject you. My grace saves you and transforms you, and it will sustain you." Will you accept it? As we close today, I want you to realize that you're in this story. Some of you maybe came in here today feeling like Paul before his conversion, maybe running away from God, building your own kingdom, or feeling like an enemy of the grace that's in Jesus. Maybe John Mark, You started walking with Jesus, but things got tough. You failed, you gave up, you abandoned the work. And you're carrying a heavy burden of the law, knowing that you've fallen short. If that's you this morning, look at the better Barnabas. Jesus Christ, he's already come alongside you as the ultimate encourager. He stepped out of heaven to take your sin, your failure, on him on the cross. He does not reject you. He's offering you a second season, a new start, and a true forgiveness that washes away your sin. Will you accept his grace today? You don't have to do something special or mystic, but believe in your heart and confess with your tongue that Jesus is the Lord. You can respond to him today. And for those of you who've already received this incredible, marvelous gift of grace, who's your John Mark? Who in your life maybe has failed you, hurt you, or messed up, and God's tapping you on the shoulder today and saying, hey, it's time to show some grace. You can't give what you don't have. So we need to first receive and embrace the grace of Jesus. And as Christ's grace overflows in you, you have everything you need to be an agent of his grace. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we come before you this morning, we are just so thankful for your amazing grace expressed so perfectly in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the grace that saves, the grace that sustains, and the grace that gives us eternal hope to be with you forever. We thank you that the relationship has been restored. Sin forgiven, and a new life created through Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. And today, as we respond to you, Lord, I want to ask that if there's anyone here who has not experienced your gift of grace, says, today, I need grace, that they can respond to you. And if that's your case, and you just want to today respond to Christ, you can say in simple words, Lord, I've failed, and I recognize that I'm a sinner. I need your grace in my life. Please forgive me through what Jesus has done in the cross. And I want to deposit my faith in you. I want to walk with you, trusting in you every day. And I want to ask that you would give me a new life by your grace. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for my sin, that he came back to life, and now invites me into a living relationship with him forever. Lord, please take my life. And from today onwards, I want to ask that you would fill it with your grace and that I would walk with you by your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.